All right, hour number two, it's Miller and Condon. We are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We appreciate you being here with us. Coming up, we will be joined momentarily by our friend Adam Emenecker, former Drake Bulldog, now analyst on a whole bunch of Drake games, Valley games as well. He'll join us. G-Mig sponsors. Then Bill Seals on Iowa State. They play the game before Drake does. Their tip time is just after 6 o'clock. We'll get into that with Bill Seals. Spring football is underway. Matt Campbell and the coaching staff, etc. They've had some introductory press conferences to the spring. We'll pick Bill's brain on that as well before we hit to Chicago and catch up with David Kaplan on Chicago Sports. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsor. So a busy hour, then Trent's Plays of the Day for Circus Sports sponsor those. So a lot of things to get to in hour number two. And Adam Emenecker is up first. Hello, Adam, Trent, and Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just talking to Trent real quick off the air that, you can't beat this time of year. Not only is March Madness my favorite, but also, I mean, how about Drake and Iowa State?
Yeah.
Just a couple hours west. I mean, it has created quite a fervor and a potential second round matchup, which, could be a heck of a lot of fun.
No, absolutely would be. And from our perspective, we would be guaranteed the one of our two, air quote, local teams going to move on to next weekend. Adam, the time for Drake, you guys played early, if memory serves. I think you were the first game of that day in Tampa. Drake's got to wait all day. I noticed Washington State does too, but they're on that would drive me nuts. Can you think back on what it would have been like to try to wait all day to finally get your opportunity to play in the big dance?
Oh, man. It would definitely be tough because the anticipation is just kind of killing you. And, you know, what's unique about the day is you have games going on across the country that you're going to be sitting there watching as well. So, you know, in some ways, a lot of games you're accustomed to playing at 7 at night, right? So you have the routine for on Wednesday evenings, on Tuesday evenings, you have that 7 o'clock game. So you kind of know the flow of the day, but the day is just disrupted, not only because you're playing later, it's going to be an after 9 o'clock tip, but also, I mean, there's just so much more fanfare around, whether it's the arena, whether it's within the hotel, but also just being able to watch games all day. So I bet the anticipation will be very, very high on both sides. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of nerves from both teams just as they start getting going. And remember, Drake hasn't played a game in 10 days either. So there might be a little bit of rust to work off. Have to kind of weather that first initial storm in the first few minutes.
When you look back to when you played the NCAA tournament, that game against Western Kentucky, did you feel that the 10 days off is something that outside of maybe Christmas time, you might have something similar? It's just so different than what you're used to. How difficult is that for a player with that kind of layoff?
Well, and usually, Trent, I don't name that team that you mentioned, so I'm not going to say anything about them specifically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think it took actually probably until halftime and coming out the second half before my legs felt normal. I remember feeling just a little bit heavy, and part of that is the anticipation, what we just talked about. I mean, your juices are really flowing, but having the 10 days off, it just, you're out of your routine. You haven't played at that pace in a while after having basically Wednesday, Saturday games for the last 2.5 months. And so it does take a little bit of an adjustment, you know, probably not something you can see, that you can perceive, but it'll be definitely something the players are working through, just trying to get their legs underneath them, trying to settle in and get used to the pace of the game. You know, the other thing about that, Trent, is you're going to play against a really good team, one of the top right now 68 teams in the country, the 68 teams remaining that have aspirations for them to move on to the next round as well. So not only is, you know, you're feeling a little bit out of sorts as the game gets started, but also know that the margin for error is small because you're playing against a good opponent.
So I'm just trying to figure out what Darren DeVries would have done with his group. What did Keno do? You guys get back from St. Louis. You probably get a day or two just to be student-athletes and to just revel in what you guys just accomplished. But there had to be a hard practice or two at some point, right, just to maintain that physical peak that you guys were in. When do you think that would have happened for this Drake team?
Yeah, I mean, I think your points are spot on, Ken, that Sunday you get back, probably Monday and Tuesday off, and then the game script or the practice script going into that first week before the seeding is announced, before the opponent is announced, is almost like preseason. So I would guess it would have been a lot of skill work and probably depended on the individual and their health status Do they need treatment? Where are they in terms of their overall cardiovascular physical condition? And probably light for the first couple of days, but I think then almost treating it like preseason, going back to October, where maybe even two-a-days and playing some full court, even in small stretches, just to make sure that you kind of keep that sharpness, right? And then once Sunday happens, practice before you have the selection show. Once you get to the selection show, now you get right back into the routine of game prep. So the things that are different are, well, you're going to have to travel. The NCAA plans all the travel stuff, but also then tickets, the number of people reaching out to you. I mean, that becomes just an absolute mess and can be a distraction, especially when you're playing so close to home because the demands are higher. But as soon as you start to get through that Sunday into Monday, now it just gets into regular prep mode. The biggest difference for that is you have the public practice in the arena. That is just a little unusual, not something teams do during the regular season. And then when you move on and you're practicing at other locations, you might be crossing teams and you see more fans. So you can tell it's a different environment, but try to keep it as routine as possible.
Matchup against Wazoo, that's how we'll cap things off on Thursday evening. Washington State, the storyline with Joseph Yesufu, not going to be there as he is out for the season with an injury. As you've taken a look, though, at them, what have you seen from Kyle Smith's squad as they finished second in the Pac-12 this year? A good run after kind of a slow start this season. What concerns you when you look at this Washington State team?
Yeah, you know, when I look at this game, especially from a Drake and a Missouri Valley perspective, what I like about it is it feels like a 50-50 matchup, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get a 10-7 game, that's kind of what you expect. But I think to your point, Trent, every team in the tournament, for the most part, especially you're a 10 seed or less, 11 seed, 12 seed, whatever, all these teams can play, right? So when you look at Washington State, you see kind of an old school style. They don't necessarily play very fast, but they're hyper efficient. They're good offensively. They know who they are. So I think when you look at Washington State, it's a team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes and has a couple really good players. Miles Wright, Isaac Jones are two of their guys, upwards of 15 points a game that can really dominate a game, control the pace, and control the tempo. When I look at it from a Drake standpoint, though, what I like in terms of a matchup, Washington State's not a great three-point shooting team. 291st in three-point attempts per game. They only make about 6.5 threes. And even though they're really good at defending at the rim, 26th in blocks per game, they don't force a lot of turnovers. That actually allows Drake, one of their strengths is not turning the ball over very much. I think one of the really good things for Drake is if Washington State doesn't make a lot of threes and can't force any turnovers, that plays well into like the old school MBC style that Drake's used to. In many ways, I look at Washington State being pretty similar to Bradley, a team that Drake's had a lot of success against this year.
How important is Tucker DeVries to have a normal game for him to, you know, to lead the team in scoring? I mean, can Drake move on if Tucker DeVries has a subpar game by his standards?
Well, I think you look back last year and Tucker DeVries, one of 13 from the field against Miami. But remember, Drake was up 8 with 5 minutes to play in that game, right? Mm-hmm. To Miami, a team that went to the Final Four. Now, that was a different team makeup, and obviously the role Tucker DeVries plays is different. I think in the first-round matchup against Washington State, Tucker can be his normal self. And what I mean by that is he's going to control the play pace. He's going to control the tempo. He's going to get good shots for him and his teammates. I don't know that Drake needs a 33-point game. I have high confidence that he's going to be better than 1-for-13, especially with an edge, knowing that's how the game script went last time.
Yep.
But if Drake moves on to a second round against Iowa State, that would be a game that I think you'd need Tucker DeVries upwards of 20, 25, 30, maybe even 35 points in order to be able to thwart that really high pressure and tough Cyclone defense.
I hope we get it, and good luck to your alma mater, Adam Emenecker. Thank you for coming on, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Adam Emenecker, Larry Bird Trophy winner, is the most valuable player in the Missouri Valley Conference, joins us. GMIG sponsors our Valley Conversation with Adam each and every Wednesday as we get set for Drake and Washington State. We'll get set for Iowa State as they take the floor against those Jackrabbits. That's coming up. Bill Seal, CycloneReport.com, joins us. Bill, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Before we get into basketball, just a couple of minutes on football. Matt Campbell and company had their press conference. What was it? What's today? Wednesday. So Monday, spring football is upon us. A takeaway or two from what you heard, regardless from who you heard it from. What were some of your takeaways from the opening press conferences in advance of spring football?
Well, just it sounds like it's been a good off season for them since they got back in January. Matt hit on that multiple times, and you know, from my perspective, I'm always kind of interested to hear kind of how the transfers and January enrollees are doing, and if they're guys that are going to impact the team. And I did ask Matt about that, and it sounds like that the you know Iowa State doesn't do a whole lot in the transfer portal. Football-wise, but it sounds like they hit on the guys that they did bring in. Dylan Barrett was one of them that Matt had brought up, and even Taylor Mauser and his availability. Of course, the Wisconsin offensive line transfer, I think he's someone that is really going to push for a starting job his first season at center, so going to be good competition there in the spring. Jalen Jackson, Eastern Michigan. I thought it was interesting. Matt said that he's going to be the fastest guy on the team since Kinane Wongwu.
Mm.
So, and a 10-600 guy. And if anything, you know, Jalen Knoll has really taken on a lot in his career at Iowa State. And, you know, it'd be nice, I think, maybe if they could divvy up some of that to a Jalen Jackson and let Knoll focus mainly on playing wide receiver. So I think Jackson's going to be kind of that you know, that jack of all trades, skill player, maybe get in there and play some slot a little bit too. But yeah, a lot of good things to say about Jalen Jackson as well. Isaiah Alston, we talked about him.
That's the Army kid?
Months. Yeah, out of Army. I think you look at it, and it was interesting for Matt too to kind of harken back to even talking about like the 2017-18 seasons, taking us back a little bit when they had those two real big, tall wide receivers, and maybe they have that this coming season with adding Isaiah Alston to the mix. So all good comments there, and it's going to be another interesting spring ball, spring practice that starts tomorrow, and they'll have the spring game coming up in about a month.
Well, hopefully, it's always good to talk football.
Yeah.
But let's be able to talk basketball for the next 3 weeks.
Okay,
how does that sound to you?
That will work for the fan base. I'm
I think they would sign up for that, and I know definitely 11-1 would sign up for that one too, and add that contact. Yeah. We'll eventually get back to the football side of things. Kick things off. I thought the committee did a terrible job. Not just a 2 seed for Iowa State, but the number 8 seed was highly questionable and able to pull that off. And then on top of it, they're searching for storylines. They're not putting together a good bracket. It's South Dakota State, Otz's old team, then potentially Drake in the round of 32, the in-state battle. A lot that went wrong in my mind for Iowa State. Yeah, you get to play to Omaha. That's great. You were going to do that regardless. That's not this big carrot that a lot of people think is dangling out there. That would have happened even if they would have been shipped out west. They still would have been the number one seed. They still would have been able to play in Omaha. Just your takeaway of the bracket reveal and searching for storylines.
Gosh, it seems a lot like the 1999-2000 season.
Absolutely.
Kenny, you can probably remember maybe some of the politicking that went on there. You know, they throw Iowa State, they give them the first two rounds in Minneapolis, think they're doing them a favor there, and, you know, a lot of Cyclone fans travel up there. But the caveat is then you've got the 16 and 8 rounds up in Auburn Hills, Michigan, with Michigan State. So, you know, Iowa State gets out of Omaha, and they're going to be rewarded with going out and playing where it's going to be UConn pretty much de facto 2 home games out there. So did them no favors. But I'll tell you what, UConn, the number one overall seed, I don't think they did the Huskies
any
favors either when you've got the top 4 seeds in there are conference tournament winners. So that's the toughest bracket of the 4, I think, by far. And, you know, the Cyclones included in that.
Yeah, Auburn's in there, and Illinois is in there, and two teams that went a long way last year, and then down at the bottom, Iowa State, and yeah, it's bananas. But we move on. That's the cards that they were dealt. So Iowa State, a resounding victory in Kansas City. You were there for that one, Bill. What needs to, I guess, what do they need to guard against going into this tournament? Coming off as high as you possibly could get, right? Beating the number one team in the country and doing it in the fashion that they did, and getting all the adulation from the fan base and cutting down the nets and the celebration. How quickly do you think TJ refocused him? I did love the fact that they got right on the bus. They didn't stick around in Kansas City right. and celebrate like teams that have won this tournament in the past. They got on the bus and came back to Ames. I do love that part about how TJ is looking forward.
Well, I think that they really were certainly riding a high after that. Three wins, a total of 51 points in that average margin of victory, 17, of course. And but I tell you what, I think this is going to be a very focused team out there tomorrow. We just talked about it, the seeding, the way that whole Selection Sunday thing played out. I think this is going to be a team that comes into this with a little bit of a chip on its shoulder. I tried to get maybe a little sound bite out of Trey King and Curtis Jones on Sunday about that, and they were pretty diplomatic. But I think I recall Trey saying something along the lines they thought they should have been a one seed. So I think this will be a team that is uber focused coming into this one, and I don't think you're going to see a repeat of what we had in Greensboro last March in the first round.
Let's hope not, because that was hideous.
what commercial's right? That was that's hideous. I don't remember.
You're the commercial guy.
I know. You look hideous.
14, 15 seeds we've seen in the past. What does make you nervous about South Dakota State? Is it just their ability? They can make some shots out there. They got a couple of Iowans that play quite a bit. You got the chip on the shoulder there. I mean, are those the things? Is there anything, though, more X's and O's wise that does concern you, Bill?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Trent. This is, you know, so many times we see, like with Iowa State in football, when they open against you and I, you've got a roster full of players that think they should be playing at that level, or they think they should have been recruited by the Cyclones. And certainly there is some Iowa flavor on the South Dakota team. They're led by Zeke Mayo, and he's kind of like just stuffs the stat sheet, kind of like what we've seen with Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert. So he's one that they're going to want to focus in on. A pretty good shooter from deep too, I think around 39 or 40% from 3-point range, so they're definitely going to need to focus in the defense on them. And but I think as well, it's just a familiarity factor, and that could probably work both ways, maybe with TJ and how he's going to have this team prepared to play an Eric Henderson team. But on the flip side, you know, Eric should know a lot of TJ's tendencies too. He's TJ's a big reason that Henderson's at South Dakota State right now. And then the coaching staff as well. You've got two Iowa State grads going down, and that Brian Peterson played for the Cyclones. So, but yeah, I think you always, a team like this, you're going to run into maybe a chip on their shoulder as well, as some of these guys think maybe they should have been recruited to play for Iowa State.
Last thing, Bill, in our final minute, as well as they played against Houston, Curtis Jones, who's been phenomenal in the month of February, really the entire Big 12 campaign, he was 1-for-7 against Houston. He's not going to have another, by his standards, subpar game like that. So that tells me as easily as they beat Houston, it could have been worse if Curtis Jones had his shooting eye. Any doubt in the back of their mind that they get through the Jackrabbits?
No, I think that I think this is a team that they should beat pretty handily, guys. I just think there's so many weapons for Iowa State, and that the defense is going to travel out here well to Omaha, and then you're going to probably see Curtis Jones rebound too down the stretch. Yep. He was one of the most consistent offensive players on the team. Maybe didn't shoot well in that game against Houston, but you know, at the time that was the number one defensive efficiency team in KenPom. Iowa State since supplanted them for that, but probably that was a big reason maybe for the struggles and them trying to get out on Jones. But I think Iowa State goes out here and handles business, and boy, that could be an interesting second round game as well with DeVries. And we've seen teams with those outside shooters. BYU got him out there in Provo, and DeVries can stuff the stat sheet as well. So that could be a lot of fun here on Saturday as well if both teams win tomorrow.
CycloneReport.com, spring football ongoing, basketball as we know. Away we go. Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. I have it covered right there, part of the Rivals Network. Bill, thanks for doing this. Speak with you next week. Thanks, Bill Seals.
Sounds good, guys. Hopefully it's from Boston next
week. Yes. How about that? Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Bill.
Have a good one.
Yep, good to talk to you. Sounds like he's already got his travel plans.
Not bad. That's the way to do it.
I think Justin Miller's got his travel plans going for representing KXNO. That's great. Good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sean's there now. Heather's going. Justin's going. You and I are staying home.
I'm going to Oklahoma.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I would trade spots.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, I don't blame you. Anyways, we will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll head to Chicago. David Kaplan is standing by. Cappy next. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy. It's Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's get right to David Kaplan. Centurion Stone of Iowa. We'll tell you about Centurion Stone once we get to the end with here with Cap. We only got him for about 10 minutes. We're going to get right to him. Cap, Trenton, Ken, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. How are you, Capper?
Everything's good. Just waiting for this NFL Plus account to load so I can watch Caleb Williams pro day today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who else watched his pro day? Keenan Allen was there watching his pro day in person. Cap, that resonates, I think. I mean, he's been a Bear for what, all of not even a week, and obviously very talented player. Not sure he's got, you know, multiple years left, but you got him for a couple of years still playing at a high level, and he shows up to watch who everybody believes is going to be throwing him the football this year. I think that earned him, if nothing else, opened some eyes that Keenan Allen is all in with the Bears.
Yeah, and he was in Bears gear. That
right.
was the really
yes.
cool part.
Yeah.
And those sweet white warm-up pants with a blue Bears top, and it was like, okay, this guy's all in. He was in Chicago, did his media stuff and medicals, flies back to the West Coast, and is like, yeah, I'm going to go see my quarterback. I thought that was really cool.
Caleb Williams is going to be the pick. The Bears are not going to trade it. They have traded Justin Fields. We know all of this. Why is this going to work, Happy? Because I've been sold a bill of goods by my radio partner, Ken Miller, that it was going to work with Justin Fields.
I wasn't the only one.
Why it was going to work with Jay Cutler, he tried to tell me the same thing.
Might have been the only one.
Why should I be excited? How are the Bears going to get this one right?
I can't tell you that they're going to get it right. I can't.
No, yeah.
But what I could tell you is this is the first time in my lifetime as a Bears fan that they have actually put a franchise-level quarterback, because Jim McMahon was not that. He was a good player,
He's
but
good.
He wasn't a franchise-level quarterback. This is the first time I've seen infrastructure around a big-time quarterback prospect. Like, they went and traded for Jay Cutler. I hated the deal and said it that day on Chicago TV and radio, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? He's a great player. Yeah, he's the epitome of mediocrity. There was no way Denver was giving him up if he was any good. He was a jackass.
Yeah, he had a hell of an arm.
He did.
Yeah.
He's out of there.
Yeah.
But when he was there, did they upgrade the O-line enough? No. Mm-hmm. Who was his number one wide receiver at the start? Devin Hester.
Yeah.
His two was Johnny Knox.
And Brandon Marshall for a while, right?
For a while.
Yeah.
That relationship soured along with Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Now you have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson. They've made some upgrades to the offensive line. I hope they're not done. And Caleb Williams. I think you got a chance here to have a really, really good run coming.
So take us back to Monday when you guys get back on the air, and now the fan base knows you're getting a six, which I believe will ultimately end up being a four because I believe Fields will beat out Russell Wilson, who's awful. We'll save that for another day. But if it stays a six, so what was kind of – because you've been on this train for a long time, Cap, that there's no deal there for Justin Fields. You called the his fan base, if you want, a cult, and I kind of get it in some respects. But what was the consensus on Monday morning when you take the air? Good deal, bad deal?
They did the right thing, and I thought Michael Wilbon, who was on with me and Tommy Waddle yesterday, he put it best. He said, I've talked to big-time players in the NFL who questioned, I don't know, this is in the past. Bears ownership, I don't hear great things. Are they committed to winning? Will they do the right thing for their players? And guess what? There were four other teams that offered better draft capital than what the Steelers did. But Justin Fields and his agent said to Ryan Poles, hey, man, appreciate it, but we want to go to Pittsburgh. Can you please facilitate that? And Ryan took lesser draft capital to put him in the situation he wanted to be in. That is going to speak volumes with players around the league. Boy, they took less just to make him happy. I thought that was cool.
Any idea, Cap, who those other teams were?
I know Philly was one of them. I don't know who the other two or three were.
All right. What are they going to do with the 9 pick?
A lot of people think they're going to trade the pick. I think it depends who's there before they make the decision. Olin Kruth said, you got to draft another offensive lineman. Now, he's an old offensive lineman.
Right, yeah.
He wants a left tackle. He said, I'm not telling you Braxton's a bad player because Olin trains him. He said, like him. Maybe you can kick him inside because Tevin Jenkins hasn't proven you can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And Nate Davis hasn't proven he can stay healthy. You've got an okay upgrade at center, not great. But if you get Joe Alt at left tackle with Darnell Wright at right tackle, you got bookends for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years if they stay healthy. So if he's there, I think there's a chance they could take him. If Adunze or Neighbors or Harrison is there at 9, then you'll take one of them. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think probably the Chargers at 5 are now in the receiver market if they stay there. We'll see. But, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what way it goes. Cap, we've got actual baseball games. Not sure if you saw much of the pod.
Oh, we had it on.
Did you?
Absolutely.
So we're a week away. Tomorrow's opening day. What needs to be done for the Cubs between now and next Thursday? Anything?
Stay healthy.
Yeah.
Stay healthy. Like the Reds just announced another guy's probably headed to the IL. I think 5 or 6 of the guys they thought would be on their opening day roster are now going to miss the opener with injuries. You've got to stay healthy. It's a 7-month slog through the National League and through interleague play. Would I like to see them go out and get another pitcher? Sure, because Tyone's not back yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't see them signing Jordan Montgomery. Maybe I'll be surprised. So just stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Simple as that. And it's certainly 1 through 26. Looks like this team has a chance to make a run. What have you seen on Aminaga here during the spring training and a guy that you feel solid that he's going to be there? You know, we've seen so many of these players that have come over from Japan. The transition has taken maybe a little bit longer that he can hit the ground running.
He has been filthy. Strikeout ball is unbelievably good. Really tough on lefties, but he's also gotten righties. I think he's second in spring training, the last couple days ago, in all of spring training in strikeouts. He's been outstanding. Now, he has a penchant for giving up home runs. He did that in Japan. He's already done that here, but his numbers look really good. And I thought Justin Steele put it the best. He goes, I'm going to buy rookie cards because that guy's filthy. I want his rookie card.
And last thing, Cap, stadium updates, White Sox. Sounds like Arlington Heights kind of changed the tax rate at the last minute, making it more and more likely
what
that
I
the Bears.
You guys.
You did.
I told you.
Yeah.
Yep. And now I know Kevin Warren would prefer to be in the city. In my opinion, that's a stupid decision. I would tell him that if he was sitting here. I just think Paradise is what they will call Arlington Heights if they build it right on 326 acres. They can have everything they want. I don't see why you'd go in the city.
Go do your interview, Cap. We'll talk to you in a week. Thank you, buddy.
Caleb Williams, Trump's all.
Indeed he does, and he's on his way. Thank you, pal. Good to talk to you. David Kaplan, as we check in on Chicago sports, we do it every Wednesday at about 12:30 with the Cap Man. It cut a little short here today. Who was he interviewing? Did you?
He didn't say.
Yeah, I didn't. I was going to ask him at that end. None of my business. But if he offered it up to you off the air, I'd let you spill beans.
You're throwing me under the bus.
No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. So you're a Bears fan. We know that. It's not been easy.
No.
Look at the weapons you're going to have.
I got to see it.
I know you do.
I just have to see it. I have been set up so many times in the past. I've built itself up. I'm there.
Keenan Allen's a hell of a player.
Yes,
Moore's
he is.
A hell of a player. Komet's a good tight end. Swift can run the football. Your offensive line's not terrible, Trent.
It's not great.
But it wasn't. Where I wonder where they ranked in the 32 offensive line. It had to be.
I'd say like 20.
Upper teens?
Yeah, maybe. I'd say about 20.
Middle of the pack?
17 to 20.
Mm-hmm. When Sweat came over, the defense took off. Johnson's back. He's signed, sealed, and delivered. His team's got some parts.
Let's see. This is a player profile. Is that players or teams? It doesn't have a list here. I wanted to see if PFF had it listed throughout the course. This is a subscription-based one, so that's the one that's set up there. Didn't see exactly where they ranked at the end of the season.
But certainly not the best, but not the worst.
Right. Not awful.
Yeah.
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
Completely adequate. This is for 2024 as they're currently constructed. They don't have the Bears, I don't believe, as I'm scrolling through here. 13th this upcoming season. Braxton Jones, thought we saw some good things out of him. Tevin Jenkins, who's never healthy. Ryan Bates, Nate Davis.
Whitehair's moved on, right?
Yes, yeah. And Darnell Wright.
Okay.
Who I think's got a chance. Need some more in the interior.
Okay.
Well, now, if you put Olt there, you can put Jones inside. Now we're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I will sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. You want an offensive lineman more than you want another receiver?
Yes, absolutely.
O'Dunes is there?
Yes. Don't care.
Neighbors is there?
No.
Take an offensive lineman.
Okay? No, I've bitched about this for 30 years.
How about an edge rusher?
Offensive line.
How about an edge rusher?
No. Offensive line.
Fix the O-line. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors our weekly conversation with Cappy. They're located at 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines. They've got a great website. You can see some businesses that have upgraded their exterior or their interior, some homes as well. Check them out online. Check out the showroom. Again, CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. If you have a project that's going to require some natural stone veneer products or manufactured stone, Centurion Stone of Iowa, they've got your every need looked after at one spot. 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines, and they have, making it convenient for us working folks, Saturday morning hours. That's right, the showroom's open Saturday morning until noon. Trent's Plays of the Day, they're sponsored by our friends at Circa. Circa Sports sponsors Trent's Plays of the Day. They're next, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent's Plays of the Day, Circa Sports sponsors. Download the app. It's available in the App Store. Fund your account, and away you go. Oh, Vegas, there'll be a lot of inbound planes full of guys and gals getting set to take on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this tournament. It's so crazy.
It is.
It's so wild.
I need to do it.
I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I was way younger when I did it.
Yeah, well, I'm running out of those years.
It's true. I was probably your age the first time I was there. I think I've been to three of them, three opening weekends of the dance. It's so much fun.
You like to say I like to put the fun meter in the red?
In the red zone, yep.
I don't know how many more of those days we got out there. Because they catch up in a big time way.
Take a toll, don't they?
Yes, they do. All right, five plays for tonight. How about 5-1 yesterday?
That's a good start to this tournament, Trent.
Last week, we're 36-30-1, up 5.3 units. Last 30 days, if you've been betting with me, you are up 44.2 units.
That's wild.
It's been a good run. This is my time of year. Mm-hmm. And the NIT, it was really good for me last night outside of the Iowa game.
So just real quick, you came up with the 16 seed, a trend, I guess, mm-hmm. right? You take the 16 seed that plays in the play-in Tuesday or Wednesday, that's getting, you take the dog, and it's been pretty good.
I've done this for the last 15 years since we went to 65 teams the first time, just with that one play-in, and it is definitely profitable. I play a unit on the underdog, and then usually pepper just a little bit on the money line, then maybe a quarter of a unit, something like that.
So you would hit both yesterday?
Yes, and I would guess historically, I mean, this is something that hits probably 58, 59%, jeez, if I remember the math that I did a year or two back. So this is good, and I'm going right back to the well. Grambling, plus 3.5, going to grab them in this one against Montana State. Watch a lot of Montana State. I have not seen Grambling this year. Don't know. It's just a blind play. And handicapping these games, that's the problem. You try to handicap these teams from awful conferences, it's almost impossible to do. It really is. Montana State had to win their final four games of the conference tournament just to get to 500. They're not great. We'll be happy with this one. And how about Grambling playing in their first ever NCAA tournament?
Good for them.
I mean, a program that, because of the football stature, Eddie Robinson, you think, oh, they had to be good at some years playing in the SWAC, right? First ever tournament, Grambling plus 3.5. One other, obviously, in the first four, give me Colorado. They're just better than Boise. I know you've had a little affinity to that Boise team.
I did. I thought that they were unfairly placed in the playing game. But Colorado's good. I'm with you on the Buffs.
Got a potential lottery pick, probably 2-3 guys on that roster that are going to be NBA players. We'll lay the 2.5 with Colorado. Then the NIT, I love SMU with the uncertainty around shirts. Against Indiana State tonight, I will definitely grab the points there. Give me SMU plus the 7.5. Appalachian State, I think they got a great shot of going into Wake and winning that game. We'll grab the 8 points with Appy State. And finally, San Francisco. It's a long trip out to Cincinnati. They can shoot it. Tough defensive team, obviously, in Cincinnati. So three dogs in the NIT, SMU, Appy State, and San Francisco.
All right, Murph and Andy coming up next. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3-6. We're Miller and Condon, 11-1, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3. KXNO.